In 2012, a group of radio enthusiasts were told they couldn't broadcast without a license. These folk promptly escaped the clutches of a maximum security open source community. Today, still wanted by the state, they broadcast as soldiers of freedom. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, if you can find them, maybe you can hire the Dark City Radio Crew.
Well, we're going to have everyone welcome, and I want to welcome you into our great show here. It's Freedom Living Now, and I get to be your hostess, Karen Ann Lusick Baron McDonald, and you are tuning in today to Dark City Radio. So we want to thank everyone, Bob and Paul and all our servers from all over the place, and the crew, the listeners. We've got a weekly great show here, and right up following with me, and in fact, he hasn't been to bed yet, I'm so grateful, is Dr. Tony Minervino. We're going to have him up with us not only today, but also following. He'll be at his show. So you could actually have fun with all of us for at least 4 hours today if you really like. And he'll be having Loretta Mole on, and you can follow Tony also at thehealingbusiness.com. What we have, I am so excited, besides it's being a mothering day, and I get to be a mother, and I mean, who could be more excited in the entire cosmos or universe than myself? Because I have actually Vinnie Eastwood, and I'm so grateful these guys are still there, because I've been like watching the, you know, Weather Channel, and I've been up all night making sure the cyclone, the hurricanes and everything is passing over these guys. So welcome, we've got Vinnie Eastwood. How are you doing, Vinny?
I'm really good. I was thinking about the cyclone while I was dreaming, and I woke up going, you know, wouldn't it be funny if I just woke up and just the whole country just got blown away, you know?
Well, we're hoping to do that, actually. We're going to set up a nation there, so it's okay. We could blow all the countries off. It's fine.
In a deeply sexual way. Sorry.
Yeah. Don't go. And I was just going to say, yeah, you know, it's all in our words, and we're going to create a whole new, you know, landmass and everything around there. I figure that's the best way to present for a gift for you guys today.
That's how Atlantis did it. That's how America does it.
That's exactly what we're doing. Atlantis is rising. I've been to get with Patty Broussard, and I'm watching from the satellites looking down, you know, I'm going, it is actually rising there. Look at that.
I know. It must be all that Viagra they dump into the sea.
Obviously. And also, we've got quite a beautiful lineup today. We're going to do almost a little bit of a round table. And the reason why is I've also got Tim Phillips. And a lot of people are not aware. I remember when I was, you know, looking at this idea of, you know, getting off the grid and eco and natural living and coming away from the, you know, the system per se or whatever. And, you know, I knew about the no commerce and, you know, what was this thing all about, peace. And so, I mean, it sent me on my own little journey. But I remember being at a Winston Shrout seminar, and we had been learning all about these things. And actually, Peter Eugene might be hopefully joining us later, depending how his day's going as well. But learning about this idea, what always people wanted to be sovereign and into the private and this type of thing, and, you know, like being part of the monarchy. And then I went, I don't think I want to join that club, you know, with the Vatican and Washington and Elizabeth. And, you know, I thought that's just not where it's at. And then one day I was at this seminar, and at Winston Shrout's, just to let you know, Vinny, just a little background. Tim Phillips came in, and I'll never forget, he was sitting behind me. He looked with your accent, as you guys have. He goes, does anyone actually know anything about law here? Would that be international law, law of the lands, original customs usages, and more importantly, you said, I think, clan mothers, Tim, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's how we started our relationship.
Yeah. This is true.
It is true. And from that point, I put up my hand and I went, I don't know. I said, that would be me. and I'm hanging out with all the tribals and teepees and medicine wheel and international law, and it's something to do with bloodlines, and it's part of something. I hope my babas are really, and ancestors are really happy with this today, mothers and fathers. But Tim took me on a bit of a journey, and so we learned about someone called Mr. Meredith Quinn at the time, who was the legal law advisor to the United Nations and passed away in, I believe, about 1994. And there is a succession of YouTubes. So anyone that's listening right now, if you'd like to learn just a little bit of a basis, and it's not the entire gospel by a long shot, but it's got some very little basics done by Lister Howes at the time in Winnipeg. And it's called Meredith Quinn Tribal Laws. Also, Tim has also set up on Facebook, and this is called Universal Writings of Meredith
Universal
Quinn.
Universal Law. Yeah, the writings of Meredith Quinn.
Correct. I have a channel now on YouTube called the KAM channel, and I want to get so that each one of us are very, very pivotal people in our own rights. And what I want to do is to start off is how to contact each one of us. We'll do it now, right in the beginning, and then at the end. So could we just introduce each one? I know Dr. Tony Minervino, you're there too. Do we want to start with you, Tony? How do we contact you?
Sure. I can be reached at thehealingbusiness.com. That's my website. And on Facebook, Tony Minervino. And on Skype, DrTonyMinervino, Dr. Tony Minervino.
Thank you. Vinny, how do we find you? I just love Vinny. Vinny's everywhere. I love Vinny.
Well, you can just give me a bird call. It tends to work. But yeah, you just search up Vinny Eastwood on Facebook. It's generally the easiest way to contact me.
Okay. And Tim, how do we get a hold of you if we would like to get
Probably, again, I would say Facebook would be the most effective communication method.
Excellent. And then for myself...
Timothy Phillips.
Right. And for myself as well would be at Karen Ann McDonald on Facebook, and then clanmother13 at Gmail, and then Skype as well. What I'd like to do is to start this off for FEMAs, and each one of us is very powerful in our own rights, as I said, and we bring so much to this table collectively. And I'd like to give the floor, actually, to each one of you for about, you know, a little while. Because I know, Vinny, you've got such an incredible things, too. That's what I like to see, is that we're really focusing, as Tony said, it's a war for people's minds and what's going on between our ears. And we've got enough, I think, put together collectively here that we've got some great solutions for today's presentations, we'll say. So, Tim, can you start us off a little bit and give us a little bit of the background to what we have here? And also, I want to bring in, just to let people know, we've got Paul as well at Dark City Radio. And I know if they're live or not, the guys are in the back doing that, but we've also got Dark City Radio to contact any of our people because they're heavily involved, and that's available, James and stuff like that. So, Tim, can you start us a little bit? We're going to talk about really the foundational laws, natural law, what we see in nature, and also to go back into what the Hague Court was set up. And we're going to go back to like kind of like the original star seeding, you know, when the seeds came down, and we're going to talk a little bit getting into some, you know, extra terra, the interesting stuff off the firma, but how kind of heaven came to earth here, and how we'll talk a little bit about Enki, and this is the whole thing now, kind of the Nibiru, the stitching, the pole shift, everything that way. So let's start maybe a little bit where we started and into the Hague Court, because this is really, really, really huge. And what the Hague Court was really the Hags, but the Hague was the actual clan mother. So can you start us off a little bit from what you know and how you ended up with these documents? You collected them, and I've spent like 3-4 years, so I guess it's 2006. And then I was also approached, just so that people know, by someone called Rob Nicholson, who was ex-military, and you can see him at bcprospectors.com, and they're protectors of what they call the Stargates and sacred tribal sites, and how they came to me because of what I was doing, standing up into the actual courts saying, our tribes, our people do not pay taxes. We don't file taxes. You do not touch our children. You do not touch the DNA. We are not going to be banking. We will not allow any of our DNA to be altered and manipulated within the Human Genome Project or anything like that. So, Tim, can you kind of give us that foundation? Because on your Universal Writings of Meredith Quinn, we've also put up where people can download, and I also have a Google Drive set up, that there are roughly about 11 to 1,200 pages, and I'll just let you know, 250 of them are probably just the actual diagrams and facsimiles, but these are really what I consider to be, as I said to you that day, you want me to organize like the missing books of the Bible? And you said, go for it, it's your courts. So can you start us off, Tim, a little bit about what you know in your journey and how you got to know, because you are living tribally out there, aren't you?
Yes, yes. Well, how it all began, I came back to Canada in 92 and basically was living out in the rural Manitoba and around Dauphin, Manitoba. And there's a place called Duck Bay, Pine Creek, Camperville, little Indian communities. And there's like Pine Creek Reserve. Basically, there's so much deception going on in the world through the use of words, terms, as to their legal meanings and what people think they mean, and the history, how it's been altered. So, for instance, I came to Canada in 92 and hadn't seen Indians in my life prior to that. I remember seeing them for the first time and, you know, couldn't help but wanting to look at them and stare at them because I'd never seen the, you know, American Indian before. But how coming across the first signs for a reservation, seeing like 15 kilometers or whatever to Indian Reserve, what immediately struck me upon seeing it was the thought that that was like a prison camp. This is in like 92. What was it, about 2005, 2004 is when I was introduced to the concept of international law. By a man named Lester House, he came to Duck Bay. Like I said, it was a little Indian community in Manitoba by Swan River or Dauphin, for those that might be knowing of that area. And he was talking about that under international law, there are only three classes of physical beings: savage, person, or inhabitant. So no matter who you are, you fall into one of those categories. And what determines what category you're in is the words that come out of your own mouth. Because the way this world works, this Roman rule of law, they actually do everything with your permission and consent, because they can't do it without your consent, although they trick, you know, a judge the various questions, trick questions for jurisdiction. You know, do you enter a plea? Are you entering this plea voluntarily? So you're volunteering into the jurisdiction, etc. But the thing is, the savages, persons, and inhabitants, three classes of physical beings. And while we all know what inhabitants are, deer, moose, and elk inhabit the bush, same as a native, or a treaty Indian is an inhabitant, classified as a prisoner of war, legally speaking. So one rule of law supersedes another. The higher rule of law superseding the lower rule of law, obviously. So, savage person inhabitant. Savage is number one. Savage comes from the root word silvictus, which means those who live amongst the trees. So, if you're living amongst the trees, remember in the movie Avatar, the tribe of the Navi, the clan? Clans make up a tribe. A tribe is a sovereign nation. That movie is obviously all about, is actually entirely about what I'm talking to you about and what I learned from Meredith's writings and teachings. That entire movie is like going to a university and actually sitting down to a lecture on international law, if you're to understand what it is that's being shown. From the beginning of the movie, when they called them savages, okay, where did they live? Amongst the trees. What does it mean to be a savage if you're living amongst the trees? Well, then if you're living amongst the trees, you are living under the natural law, law of nature. Which, when one looks at nature and observes it, you will observe that the matriarch rules throughout the animal kingdoms in nature. Thus, that is the creator's system of government, because that is what you find in nature. So that's the supreme law of the land. It's the first law of the land, because it is what the creator put on the planet in the first instance when it was created. So that's... all law gets its authority from the creator, any and all law. except for the man-made law, obviously. And what I'm getting at there is that is your that is your authority for your rule of law. It's first, it's what came in nature. Under that system, the female, the matriarch, rules. So if you're living as a savage, it means when the Americans first came over here and called Indians savages, people think that that's a derogatory term, when in actuality it's the correct legal term for the sovereign Indian, because a savage is a sovereign. Meaning, a savage is living under the natural law and he has clan mothers to rule, head clan mother of his clan. The clan mother is the sovereign and her alone, but her sovereignty extends as a cloak over the members of her family, clan, just like the Queen of England today, right? You've got the Queen and then you've got passports for her subjects. Her sovereignty is what protects them as her subjects. Well, where do you think they got that concept from? Tribal custom and usage. Head clan mother, she's a sovereign, and everybody who's in under her clan is under her protection, under her sovereignty, extends over the members of her clan, family. So, you've got savage, you've got person. So savage is number one, because it comes from the creator. It's the first, what was here first. Then you have your person. Person, the persona, the face mask, also means imitator. Well, what is a person imitating? The real life, flesh and blood in its natural state, which would be the tribal system of living. Clans make up a tribe. It's just a sovereign nation. And then you also, though, so you've got savage, person, inhabitant. Your person is your ordinary Joe on the street who doesn't know who he is, basically, legally speaking. But you also have a subclassification of the person called a private person, which is the royalty in the civilized rule of law. If you note, the distinction I'm making is between civilized law, civil law. Because if you look it up, civil law is Roman law. And what most people don't appreciate today, the law system that they're under, all civilized nations, is Roman law. Literally. It's what Rome gave to the world, that maxim. You know, Rome gave the law to the world. Well, it did. And because that's what all of the descendants of the Romans carried on using, the law system that was perfected under the Roman Empire. That's exactly what it means to be a civilized nation today. It means you're going by civil law, Roman law. The reason it's used is because of contract law. Ultimately, all law gets back to contract law. And there's, I'm sure some of you know the four elements required to make any valid contract. True meeting of the minds as to the understanding of the term, you know, meanings of the words and the terms in the agreement. So you can't have any two different understandings of what a word might mean, right? Because then you can't have a valid contract. So that's why Latin, Roman law is used and is the language of international law amongst nations, the civilized nations of the world. They'll each have their own authoritative, you know, if they make a treaty with another country in their own language, each of them, but they'll both have one in English. Is English is the common denominator because it's the Latin. It's a dead language. It's remained unchanged over thousands of years, and each term has an exact, legally defined meaning, and it hasn't changed. So when this party and that party both use it, they both have the same exact understanding of what that term means, so there's no disagreement, you know, as to that element of contract law. Reason why I say it all comes back to contract, because even under tribal custom and usage, a head clan mother is picked by the consent of the members of her clan. They all have to agree 100% who is going to be their head clan mother. And that is how a head clan mother becomes a sovereign, literally, power of life and death over the members of her clan, is because they all agreed to give it to her. See, true power does come from the people. The irony is that you have the power to choose who's going to be your queen, basically. Either a Roman imitator, private persons like the Queen of England and all the other royal houses of Europe, the descendants of the Romans, or your own as a savage. And interestingly enough, if you look at the etymology, a savage and barbarian mean exactly the same thing. So when you look at all them movies in Rome when they're fighting the barbarians, fighting the savages, tribal
that
peoples.
Would be barbarian and bear clan as well, and the from the bar. So these are going to be some really interesting things that we're going to bring forward, and I think this is really important that you make these distinctions and that we are looking at a lot of really, really cool things, because we are bringing a new form in that's been basically hidden away from a lot of the people. And so it's important that when people actually know there is actual, literally, law terminologies about being a savage, i.e. you're not a person, you're not an inhabitant, and that we actually still have treaties with the United States, and actually we're holding in trust at one point all the rights of a sovereign because of defeating the Europeans. And that was given by the Europeans claiming the right of discovery. So as you talked about, too, being a person according to the manifest destiny and stuff, again, being the white civilized. So a lot of people, I think, make those legalese as opposed to law determinations because they weren't aware about the whole kind of like what I consider to be like the first class or, you know, someone that's in their power and claiming that back again. The other thing as well is there was another class, I almost think of it as a fourth one, but an inhabitant where they are physical beings other than a European or European descent. In some of these territories that were ceded by the treaties of Florida and Guadalupe and stuff and Louisiana, and those were having actually stuff to do as well with the United States, and those were approved by Congress. So that's almost what I always think of as a prisoner of war camp, or what people think of as a band or reserve, because they've gone totally into a patriarchal system. So you are, you know, like it's not what we say per se written or in writ, but these treaties actually are standing, and they are on actually in stone on obelisks, one of them being the queen's, you know, as people think Queen Cleopatra, it was actually the clan mother's Cleopatra, and one stands in New York City and the one's in Mexico as well. There were 13 of these clan mothers at one point for each one of those 13 nations. So I wanted to thank you for bringing that forth, because it's really important that people get the idea that there are other choices that we have. And this is part of what we're looking at resettling in there. So at this point, what we'd like to do is go in, and if you could give us a little bit more background then. So these laws come all the way back from the Hague Quarter, like we said, from before Sumeria, the original starseed colonies and stuff. So even to have intertribal relations, it's almost like diplomatic immunity. And so it's exactly what we're doing. And this is what's going on. There's things going on. And this is about people getting back into the peace, because our initial star nations, this is the whole thing to do with the disclosure project coming out right now, the ET, the alien stuff, what's going down is all based on this, because there are existing peace treaties. And if you know who you are, where you come off of, and that you're not joining anything, it's really finding out what your matrilineal lineage is, you have the ability to come in that peaceful jurisdiction. So, Tim, do you want to continue on a little bit? And then I'd really want to get Vinny in, and because there's a lot of things. Like, we know how to do this. We are sitting with the best times ever for a lot of us right now, because, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on, you know, rolling up in front of the, you know, Kremlin. A lot of this is, and that's where we're talking with Patty Broussard, that we're part of the freedom teams to go in and into our stargates and not only protect, but get back our original customs usages laws and our artifacts for our nations. And that's the whole thing to do with ISIS. Yeah. And ISIS too is the same thing as well.
That's the treaty.
The treaty is called the ISIS treaty.
What were you saying, Vinny?
Oh, I was just saying about the peaceful jurisdiction that you go into. Almost everybody who attempts this and isn't one of the elite with the money to pay for it will have pretty much everything taken to them. Most of the people that I've spoken to who have actually succeeded in getting their legal person struck off and operating completely in the private with diplomatic immunity most of them don't have their homes anymore, living on a boat, living in a car.
I would imagine they would if they've got no person to own anything, right? You've got to look at what you're dealing with. Of legal fiction. Remember The Matrix? They wouldn't be able to have a house, right? Literally, because they've got no fiction to keep the title.
Exactly. And what I theorized is that the people who are actually breaching the gap and going into court and doing battle and proving these cases now, even though it costs them everything, they're essentially self-sacrificing for the greater good so that other people don't have to tread the same terrible path.
Oh, yes.
You know?
I'm familiar with that concept.
Yeah. I mean, you've walked through that bush before, and if it's nobody's cut a path through that bush, mate, it's going to be hard yakka. So ultimately, these people are to be commended. And in my opinion, the problem with the movement is that it's completely individual based. It's only one person doing their one legal person thing at a time. And so the system crushes you. Whereas I think that all these people need to actually gain community support and have that kind of attention on them, and the people to come round with a loaf of bread every now and again, or a cup of tea, or buy them a mm-hmm. box of beer, something like that. Because you're talking about going up against the most ruthless criminal sociopathic scum who make up the laws as they go along, using their own laws against them, and you think they're going to like it? Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. There's always consequences. Well,
that's the interesting thing about law, Vinny. The true understanding about it, I mean, is that what you're saying about how describing them is very true, but something to bear in mind, okay, is they don't break the law. And that might seem like to be a very strange thing. I remember when I first heard it, but I understand exactly what that means. A white man, civilized man, does not break the law. He follows it to the letter of the law. So having said that, you've got to figure out, why does he do all these things? Well, that's because he's written his laws such that he can do those things that you think, you know, are illegal. Point is, he's not breaking the law because he made his law such that he could do it. And they are got other laws that they're bound by. So you're a tribal being if you choose to go back to it. Every single being that's breathing is. Because it doesn't matter who you are. If you trace your ancestry far enough back, you're going to come to the clan and the tribe that you come from, right? Like way back in time. Before any of the, you know, like McDonald as a surname, like that's not a clan. Because before that ever came up, right, way back, like Queen Boadicea, you know, and in England, for example. And you're getting to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm talking about immemorial antiquity. The reason I bring that up, common law country, common law. What does common law mean? It means clan mothers. How can it mean clan mothers? Because if you look it up, it says usages and customs of immemorial antiquity.
You seem to be cutting out awfully there, Tim, like a little bit of Cybertronian Transformer, bad Megatron language coming through there, brother.
I think so, too. I think this is a good time just to take advantage of this. I just also wanted to introduce also Sherry Wisdom Fishers with us, and Sherry's also another hostess, and she's over at People's Internet Radio. And she's also got her show called Open to Suggestions. So I want to welcome also Sherry this morning. So thank you very much for joining us. And we'll just kind of carry on here because I think it's really important. Sherry and a few different people, we've been moving this thing forward to get the information out. And this is going to tie very much into what I've been doing with Patty Broussard, and Sherry's now aware of it, is that the banking was taken from the women's DNA. And this is the whole foundation to the banking in the IMF. So this will tie into everything from the towers to whatever we've been able to find. And literally, Patty Broussard was able to, we'll say, we creatively got into and bypassed all the public or security clearances. And we got right into the actual sites. And so we can see where the cloning, the splicing went into, the draconian, to everything, the Fae, everything, and how they've spliced it. But that diplomatic immunity is going to be our shields, which is literally our DNA off our mother's side. So it's going to be really important because that's how we can actually trace some of the lineage right now to protect our people. So Sherry, welcome this morning too. Are you there? Just wanted you to say hi.
Thank somewhere. You so much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Sherry. Good.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Sorry, this headset. I'm always, you know, I'm so techie. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited about this show, and I do think that this information is amazing.
it's pivotal and it's time. And a lot of people, we've spent a lot of time with you, myself, Tony, and Patty Broussard, getting the DNA and getting the stuff forward and getting them to package that will be able to be disseminated. So between all of us and Alfred and Vinny, we're the new communications network. Yes. We're setting up our own community, you know, and we've got to be able to bring some of these truths to the different peoples, but also live it ourselves, which is why I've got a vertical flag, just to let you know, that's been sent off and whatever into the Hague Court everywhere else now. And so I'm going to stand on that land in Cypress Hills and will also be there, which is very pivotal. It goes back to Sitting Bull. It goes back to the whole Dakotas. And Tony's got ties into that area too.
And like so, Cypress Hill, will you also take hits from the bong?
Oh, my gosh.
I live in Colorado, so...
I'll take that as a yes.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna be laughing. I said this is like going back on the medicine, the tribal people, right? I'm going like right back to like, you know, that's when they called it the hat out of Calgary, and I'm like, I'm going right back to that, like, you know, Wanuskewin thing. I keep going back there, Tim Bayou.
Why do you think they call it the medicine man?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, we're pretty excited about that. So anyway, Vinny, do you have any questions? Or this is, I know, maybe a little bit, you know, new and stuff too, but I just actually, you're so pivotal. You're out there like, you know, we're educating it. It's getting food, getting cleansed. It's stay away from the vaccines. You know.
Throughout my entire life, I tend to have very different objectives to people. Other people want to, you know, explain facts and be disciplined and that kind of thing. I just want to expose some scumbaggery and have some fun. All right. I mean, just because of being exterminated. Yeah. Well, it's like I always say, just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed?
Great.
Well, Tony and I are going to
see
the immortality
part,
so.
The whole point of the exercise is that you can do something about it, eh? That's the thing I was getting to about the true power of the people under a matriarchal society, okay? Because you can actually command the civilized to do something, and they'll do it.
What? There's a difference between a front line and a back line, you know, like just in battle you have troops on the front line and then you have cooks and stewards and nurses and doctors and everything on the back line that patch them up, feed them. Otherwise the troops on the front line wouldn't last a day. And
well, there's more on the back line than there is in the front line.
Well, and that's the whole point. You'd be surprised how many people you need behind just one person in order to make a stand sometimes.
To run, I think. Something like that.
Well, look at it this way. One person can choose to go up against the court system, for example, and lose every bit of technology, every creature, comfort, power and water, etc. Or they can keep those things and then...
But Tim, if you don't use the microphone, we're going to have to drop you. No one can hear
you. Can you hear me?
Background music. We're getting a lot of noise from you, Tim.
Yeah.
Thank you very much indeed, Tim. Thank you. Please continue, Vinny.
Oh, ow. That is seriously a lot better. Tim, are you still not muted, bro? Okay. Well, I've forgotten entirely where I was, man. Wait. I remember now. Okay. So there's two choices. You can either A, you can fight, or B, you can help the people who are fighting. All right. So for example, if I'm doing 2 hours of radio a day, I can donate several hours of that, including video or whatever, to people who are fighting. And so that people hear about them fighting. It's kind of like that whole thing about if a man says something in a forest and no woman hears him, is he still wrong? Just kind of like if a man has a great success against the legal court system and can bring it down and nobody hears about it, did he still win?
You're referring, I'm sure, to that cute little poster that went around about 4 days ago with a little sign on the tree. I think we all saw that on Facebook.
I heard that joke a long time before that.
I know it's been coming up this week again.
Another great feminist T-shirt was happening around the early 2000s, you know, during when Bush was president, the second Bush. And the feminist t-shirt said, "The only bush I trust is my own."
Tony, do you want to come in and add a little bit here? And I think Sherry, too. I think the idea I want to really – it's terminology of we get away from the – as peacekeepers, away from the idea of warring or fighting. That's the whole idea of raw foods. You know, we're not into, like, cooked foods and dead foods or fighted foods, you know. It's had its day. I think part of the thing is the progressive thing of the language. And I think that's where I want to kind of get Tony maybe to add into this. And – about what's going on when you talk about a war for the mind, Tony. And you put a very pivotal thing up I saw today too, or last night, about some of the different things in the Star Nations and Palladians and bringing in this extra development.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, interestingly enough, long before I really considered the distinction between international law or juris secundum, you know, corpus juris secundum or common law, or, you know, really understood what savage meant or any of that. In fact, I was brought up thinking savages were people that were uncivilized, you know, which in legal terms is true, okay? But in my understanding, it just meant people that lived a very primitive lifestyle and didn't have a television, you know? But, you know, while I never really inquired into the distinction, I always considered myself a barbarian, and I always identified with the barbarians. Somehow they seem to be so much more alive, so much more real, so much more in touch with things. And, you know, it's important for us to understand that we've been brought up, you know, within the context of a fictional system, and we've come to just accept that that's the way it is. I mean, we start out as little helpless beings who are totally dependent on the you know, larger, stronger, older, wiser people around us, you know, our parents, et cetera, for our very survival. So, you know, until the age of seven, we're still in a hypnagogic state. And basically anything we hear, that's the truth. And by the age of seven, we know, we are aware that there's a system in place and that somehow they are in charge of the system. And I remember asking my father, who himself is was quite an astute and powerful politician. You know, every once in a while I'd ask him, I said, "Well, who are they?" And he says, "Well, you know, they." So, you know, even my father, even though he was involved in politics, as was his father, he really didn't understand the full implications of who they are and how they got into that position. And
can I just interject
sure.
for just one moment? There's someone's getting notifications, which is affecting the air quality or what's coming over the radio right now. So if someone could mute up or turn off their notifications.
Oh, unfortunately,
the sounds are coming through.
Unfortunately, that's me. I forgot to do
is that. Okay, if you could do that, please. Anyway,
talk radio across Skype 101. Turn off your notification noises.
Please, we've got to get our team together. Sure.
Put it together, man.
Yeah, I was going to add. I'm kidding. I wanted to add into that as far as when we start talking about, you know, you had mentioned that we don't use terms like fight or battle. It's not about not standing up, right? It's the terminology, I guess. But it's more to me, it has a lot to do with the vibration. Because it doesn't matter. When you're talking about the universe and you're talking about universal law, it does not have the judgments that humans have, right? It doesn't have the same type of classifications. And so when you're talking about putting up a battle, it doesn't really matter if you're on the good side or the bad side. The universe sees battle. And so we have to change the way that we are projecting ourselves out if we want to see a change in the reality we are going to experience. And I think that that's where they were saying that bringing in the natural law under a clan mother, right? It is chosen, but it's really, the mother is the earth, right? And there are these representatives, these women who are stepping forward now saying, okay, I will show you the way. It is not about follow me. I'm going to do it for you because I'll be honest with you. I'm not into babysitting anymore, right? Mm-hmm. But I will show you the way. Yeah. And I will, and you can come and hang out with me in a place that is not about all of this, right? And you can change your mind and you can change your ways, or you don't have to. But it's one of these things that we have to be conscious of the vibration that we are putting out into this planet, because that is what we and all are going to experience. Mm-hmm.
And I think you bring a very, very pivotal thing that is part of the loving and the nurturing form, as it is, you know, as we're wishing everyone to a happy mothering for everyone. And we're all going to be mothering into our divine men, masculine and the divine feminine, each one of us. So I want everyone to give themselves a hug this morning, too, seeing as I can't reach you all. But one of the things that is important is that we get down to the basics here. And I really, really want to get this sort of information out here. A lot of what we're going back to is actually coming back to our original kind of, if people want to say, like soul grouping or DNA, but the clan mother is in essence when they say elected or chosen, foreordained, call it whatever we like, but that was done as well because it was taught to the, you know, as they say, the eldest of the females. You know, it's in the DNA already, which is that information or education on how to do this. So that's a very, very important thing, and that we stay in peace, and to stand in peace is a whole different thing, you know, on that. And it starts with cleansing ourselves so that we're not vibrating or attracting that as well. So this is a time of what they call the great purification, call it whatever we'd like, the migration, the soul journey, but this is for each one of us. And I think to, you know, open up doing a lot of this stuff with the essential oils, getting back to the frankincense, the myrrh, cannabis essential oils, all the basis is to that, to keeping ourselves healthy and keeping everything as open and as clean as we possibly can, because each one of us is in the communications fields right now. And it's really, really imperative with what's coming on that we keep a very centered, very Zen yoga type thing so that we can help those. Because, I mean, even what we have on Facebook, I mean, Vinny's got a huge following. Tony's getting a very large following. We're all appearing in so many different fractions. And, you know, I'll be bringing some different pivotal people in, Dave Cowan, and we'll be bringing in a lot of the raw foodists like Robert Ross and different things like this, and David Wolf in the next couple of weeks, and these type of people are coming in that I've been talking to right now. So part of the thing is that we're all feeling that we are the best and that we deserve the best, and that we are able to do that, get access to the best water, access to the best food with things that are coming down. So Vinny, how does everything feel with you?
About followers, I don't really think that I have followers. I'd say that I have listeners.
Listeners, yeah, I think is a better way. Yeah, listeners, but following your show. I'm trying to think on Facebook. Oh, yeah, I'm following so-and-so.
I don't know. It's actually a really bad idea to be following to a degree, and I've encouraged people on my show many, many times. If, like me, a couple of years ago, you felt like you've actually heard just about enough, like you've got enough information to go out and start doing something, then it's okay, and in fact, encouraged that you turn off whatever it is you're listening to, and you'll know that you've really crossed the Rubicon there when you're spending more hours per day creating content for other people rather than consuming other people's content.
Mm-hmm. And I agree too, like with that, but as in people are following, or you're setting a bit of an example and people are starting to listen, you know, so that they can, like I said, we're not here. There's nothing to join. There's nothing to follow. It's to basically everyone is self-sustainable and in their own power. So absolutely, I totally agree with that. So that's
I'm not sustainable. I'm not in my own power, though.
Tim, can you add a little bit if you're there? I'm just having some signal things again. But if someone could actually come in, and Tim, if you want to talk a little bit about maybe Meredith Quinn and where people can get some extra information and how things are kind of bringing this, or you see bringing these through to the people, because you're also going to be within very close to the proximity of where we're going to.
Apparently, Tim forgot to unmute his mic. And there he is. No? Okie dokie then.
Okay. I think.
Yeah, Tim, now we can hear you.
much.
Okay, yeah, I lost signal there. Sorry.
So, did you actually have anything to say, or? Okay. It looks like he's cutting out again.
Is it I muted the mic. I heard Sherry was talking there, and from what she was saying, the first part anyway, it sounded like she was exactly online. Terminology, how you present yourself to the universe. You know, it's the thing about law is it's all in peace. Any treaty can only be based on peace. Everything is peace and love. Like, that's basically the foundation of all law. Simple as that. Love, action. And everything should be presented in that way.
And I think that people come sometimes. I'm sorry. Whoops.
I recall this one time. Oh, sorry, you go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just keep jumping in because I keep hearing it dead. I'm sorry. I don't know if I have a lapse or. I think that one of the things sometimes people misconstrue, like the term light worker and all of these other things that are bringing in what's calling this new age or a new idea. It seems like being in love and light does not mean that you have to be a pushover or that you have to be somebody who does not stand strong. It means that you're doing it in a way like what you're saying, standing in love and light, like putting truth forward and standing in your truth no matter what. That's loving yourself. And that's going to project out more than anything.
Yes.
That reminds me, we were thinking about this the other day, right? How love is an important vibration. And I think, who's got their mic unmuted? It must be Tim or Tony or something. Somebody new? No, it's just straight old Tim. Have you got your mic muted there, Tim? No? Not listening? He's like,
yes,
like the golem there.
Yeah, we've got to have that muted
yes,
because this is going out live.
Yes, obviously, Tim, because you just said, yes, I'm muted.
Yeah, we're going to have it so it's professional when we get you guys out here. So this is our stepping for everyone. However.
It's live radio, you know, what you going to do?
Exactly. I turned it back on just to tell you that I had it off.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Well, anyway, did you ever see the presentation by Michael Tesarian about the frequency vibrations, the DNA codes and everything, how the DNA is like a fractal antenna and pick up signals, that sort of thing? Well, there was some kind of thing that he was showing you where it showed the vibration of fear is actually a very low frequency. And when you're looking at it on a wavelength, it appears like really, really slow and vibrant, like kind of like waves, you know, on the ocean, just like these big troughs and undulating. Whereas on the other side, love was a very fast and kind of powerful vibration, like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And what he found was it activates the antenna. So if your DNA strand is an antenna and you've got a frequency that's going really, really powerfully through it, it starts to activate certain elements of your DNA, makes you healthier, gives you certain abilities and what have you.
Absolutely.
I thought that was quite interesting because a really drunk student one time told me that life was about one thing and one thing only, the search for good vibrations.
It's all about the vibe. And I think that's very pivotal. Tony, if you're there, if you want to talk about being excited and that state of excitement and what we're doing, when we're going into this gamma field and the biophotons and stuff, it's really important because it is like the chakras of the wavelength. So as I'm a quantum and radionic scalar, 0 point, whatever you want to call, you know, nursing and whatever, but background doing that, that's what we're talking about is the frequency. It's the oscillation. So when you're seeing that, it's unfortunate because I wanted to meet up with actually, Michael Tesarian, he had to unfortunately cancel his tour due to an ear infection. So he will only be going to Belfast now in May. And I just had actually David Whitehead on last week and stuff too. But I'll be catching up with the Disclosure Project. So with Paul Hellyer and Stephen Bassett and the rest of them and Cameron coming through into Calgary in a couple of weeks. And we were just also talking with the Dave Scott as well. that's got Spaced Out Radio TV, which is also going to be joining us as well. But I think that's the whole thing. It's about the oscillation and stuff. Tony, can you talk a little bit about that state of excitement and what we need to do to bring ourselves up to stay in that exciting state?
Well, absolutely. It's important to understand that that we're all made of energy, and we're all made of organized energy. And the actual frequency band that supports organization in life as we know it is a very narrow band of frequency called excitement. And if you're below excitement, well, you don't have the energy necessary for your body to heal and rebuild, and your mind doesn't function properly. You're out of touch with your feelings. Your emotions will run amok, and you start to fall apart. I mean, the world starts looking very chaotic, and you start feeling powerless. On the other hand, if you're too far above, if you're above excitement, well, you're accessing energies that you really can't tolerate. All right. So again, that's very disruptive to the human organism. And how we can best keep ourselves in the groove, right in that frequency of excitement, is to notice our feelings. All right. Because feelings are really our sixth sense. That's how you access information that you can't see, hear, smell, taste, or touch. But you're definitely accessing information, as distinguished from an emotion, which is always caused by thought. Okay, now given that the universe is present and you're in it, quite obviously everything's in perfect balance and everything's working together harmoniously, but you're not feeling it. And the reason why you're not feeling it is because you're focusing your consciousness through a belief which is outside the frequency of excitement. Consequently, the world you're perceiving doesn't look exciting. And that causes you then to feel like, you know, there's something wrong, when in fact you're not having a feeling at all. You're having an emotion based on your thinking. So whenever you feel something you don't like, the best thing to do is acknowledge it, of course, but then simply ask, hey, what am I thinking right now? And whatever thought comes up, that's what you're thinking. And then what must I believe right now to be thinking that? And whatever the belief is, it's outside the frequency of excitement. So turn it around to its opposite using positive language and commit to that being your new belief. Commit to thinking only consistently with that belief and start acting like someone who truly believes it. And I think it's important at this time to realize that, yes, we don't have to join anything because we're really all here together. It's just that we've all allowed ourselves to be subsumed by this fictional system called corpus juris secundum. You know, once we wake up to the fact that, hey, you know, we've all bought into this fiction and we all stand up together and decide, look, we're not going to play this game anymore and create our own system, which renders their system obsolete, we just walk away from it because, you know, this is a war for your mind. And we're not going to win this war with weapons. I mean, let's be realistic. They've got more weapons than we do. You know, however, if we change what's going on between our ears and we really join with one another in our decision to no longer play the game that's been played on this planet for, you know, thousands of years, there's not a thing they can do about it. And we can begin to live as free living beings on our earth, cooperating, collaborating, and enjoying life with one another in peace.
Can I ask, who here thinks that we'll be able to bring about a place of peace and justice and relative spiritual awareness without great sacrifice and at great cost?
I think the thing that we have to sacrifice and the cost we have to pay is we have to be willing to let go of any thought, any belief we have, which does not lead us in the direction of freedom and living in the world that we choose to live in, a world that's fair and just and equitable and acknowledges, respects, and nurtures everyone and everything and marginalizes no one and no thing.
And I think that brings up another point as well, that with a lot of the different things that are going out there right now, people have got to be able to be self-sustaining and self-empowered. The idea of, you know, having to sacrifice and surrender and all this kind of stuff, old terms we don't have to deal with. And part of that, that's why in setting up this particular area that we're looking at, is that we've got the flag, we've got this, it's standing. It was a former, what people think is, you know, Crown or interprovincial. That's the advantage that we have coming in, taking this kind of land and being able to move this in the direction that we would like to. And so there really isn't a fight because it is an actual existing peace treaty. We're just reminding each other and that there are peace treaties that exist between all those existing groups of people. Like Tim was very, very clear. All of us know what those particular laws are. I deal with people now as lawyers and stuff like this that are in the background or different people supposedly think in government authority. We're not here against anyone. We're here to actually assist and help and facilitate everything right now. So that ISIS treaty, or some called it the Camel's Eye, or they may have called it the Noah's Ark, or the Red Tribes may have called it the Peace Pipe or the Wampum Belts or the Tribes of Israel. They knew it as Solomon's Seal, Palladium of Troy, whatever the terminology is, we're all coming back to the same thing. And that's the same thing with our dealings or our relations, you know, with each other. So to me, this is just actually the best times ever because it allows stuff to come into there and a time for us to do that. So I really want to encourage people for that.
And I'd just like to say there in regards to the different names of the treaties that clear up any misunderstanding.
You might have to speak up there, Sunshine.
All right. I say, just to clear up any misunderstanding about it, there's various names there for treaties. The Eye of Isis Treaty 408 is referring to when the white tribes defeated Rome and Rome had to sign treaty. That was also known as Camel's Eye and the Eagle Bowl by various other parties. The treaties Noah's Ark, Seal of Solomon, Palladium of Troy refer to the actual foundation of international law now. Because what happened is the white tribes are having trouble with the Romans over in Europe. So they came to the Indians for help. Along with the yellow tribe and the black tribe, all three tribes came to the Indians for help. Before the Indian would help them, we had to sign treaty with them as if there had been a war and we surrendered to them. Remember, everything's done in peace, peace treaty. We did that. They gave us the knowledge we needed to go back and defeat the Romans in 408. So there's six treaties at that instance when the tribes came to the Indian for help. There's the three on the yellow, white, and black tribes, Noah's Ark, Seal of Solomon, Palladium of Troy, and then within the Americus Empire, the Canes of Authority, Wampum Belts, and Peace Pipe Treaties, three different treaties. So half of all international law is tribal custom and usage. And it's from these six treaties you actually get the foundation of international law, which is what we're discussing sort of thing. But it all comes originally back to tribal. And there's different treaties, different ages. 408 was when the Romans were defeated. Eye of Isis, Eagle Bowl, Camel's Eye. That's what that one was known as. The other six are the actual very crucial, actually, because they're the six that actually were the first intertribal treaties, if you like. The three other tribes of the world came to the American Indians for help, and all three surrendered their sovereignty as if they'd been defeated in warfare to the American Indian clan mothers, and then they gave them the help that they required. See, when I talk on this subject, our world, the paradigm, like thinking in your mind, the whole everything, right? Everything that we were taught from school, and that's all bullshit. The history, there's a complete different timeline of events that have happened in history that their history they teach does allude to, but doesn't explain fully everything that's gone on and the significance of what those things actually mean as well. Like it talks of the Dark Ages. That's when they started around the fall of Rome, 408. Dark Ages refers to Dark Ages for the Romans because they were no longer in power. It was a Dark Age for them. Meanwhile, the planet was in peace because the tribes were ruling the world again in peace. Then you have the Renaissance. The Renaissance, the Enlightenment, you know, they're back in power because they bought back title to the old Roman Empire from the white tribe in 1491. Like, you know, I mean, it's hard sometimes to talk because there's such a vast, big jigsaw puzzle of pieces that people don't have even aware of the existence of, you know, they're missing these pieces to the puzzle, that the puzzle's this big sort of thing, right? Anyway,
It sounds to me like you need to write out a sort of like a script and actually weave all the fabric of it, of the entire story and how it all works together, kind of thing, like a little game of Tetris with words.
Yeah.
Then have everything encapsulated in one thing for people to watch on YouTube or something. Should be beautiful.
Yes, I've been thinking on it for quite a few years because you're right. Like, I've accumulated, you know, quite a vast amount of knowledge over the years now from what it was originally learned from Meredith, who was an international legal advisor registered at the United Nations. He was the legal advisor for the Iroquois Confederacy. That was my introduction into this, you know, the fact that there is a whole different world of law other than what was commonly perceived to be the law, you know, Canadian Criminal Code, for example, in Canada, which now, you know, technically is just a bylaw of a corporation. Now I know that and can express it, you know, exactly as it is legally defined. But,
Well, to start off with, or at least this is how I do scripts, is you get a whole bunch of bullet points that you can think of, all the relevant, really important information in as fewer words as possible. And then once you've got all this massive list of bullet points, then you can start just rearranging them and like typing in connections or links to these sort of things.
Yes, that sounds like a good way of doing it.
Mm.
And that's the thing, there's a lot of them.
Exactly, and the more of them, the longer they take to rearrange. And you'll be sitting there sometimes just going, how do I link this to that?
Right.
Hey, but well,
because it covers a vast area, you know what I mean? Because you've got the very fact of the medium that we're using, communicate English language, you've got to get across the entire concept of, you know, what it is. Spelling, grimoires, grammar, really, like, you know, I mean, every time you talk, right, vibration, frequency, giving energy, like, everything's, like Tony was saying, raw energy, right, and casting spells, you know, witches, magic.
Mm.
Literally, every word out of your mouth is a spell. You know, they teach you to spell in school, don't they? Well, that's what it means.
I found that.
Spelling.
People underestimate the power of words. They really do. And well, it's not just in the legal sense over it all, but there've been times where I've talked people out of doing terrible things to themselves and mm-hmm. help people along in their lives, and many people have sent me messages saying that laughing helped keep them sane. One person even was going to commit suicide and then didn't. And these are people that I'd never met and were never talking directly to. That was just people who were listening to my show. And yeah. It occurs to me that when you've got somebody in front of you, your words are very, very important because every single one of them will influence that person. Do you want to influence them well? Do you want to help them? Or do you want to subjugate and destroy them?
That's right. That's it. Every word out of your mouth is a spell. It's magic. Because you're giving energy, life to that vibration, frequency, thought, intention, whatever it is, even if you know, unwittingly, right? Which is what you're saying. People do not consider, realize the actual effects of just the simple utterance of noise.
And the reading of words, like I don't know if you get trolls and abuse on Facebook, but I get heaps of it. It's great. But yeah. It's funny because you can make up the meanings and the phraseology and how the words are pronounced. And
yes.
It usually comes out quite nasty in your own head, doesn't it? Even if it wasn't meant that way.
That's excellent. Yeah. So it's actually...
Well, that's
it's,
the thing. That's what my forte has been for the last few years as well. It's written word. Sorry, what was that?
I was going to say, what's really good, and I'm glad to hear this, Vinny, because this is really new information for a lot of people that will be being dispensed, and that it is, I think, relatively easy to, you know, to get, you know, and that we can absorb this. So I really want to appreciate, you know, everyone here. So what I'd like to do as well is just for our listeners, if we could also just take a bit of a minute again and just say who we are and how to get a hold of us, because each one of us has got our own specialty as well. So, Tony, can you start off with that, how to get a hold of you, Dr. Minervino?
Sure. Dr. Tony Minervino, I can be reached on my website at thehealingbusiness.com, on Facebook, Tony Minervino, on Skype, Dr. Tony Minervino, is DrTonyMinervino, or on email at drtony@thehealingbusiness.com.
Vinny, how's it good? What did he get a hold of you?
Well, let's go through the rundown. Okay, so you can get to my YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/ Mr. News Guerrilla Media. I have, I think, just over 18,000 subscribers, which is more than the largest mainstream media news outlet in New Zealand, which is the New Zealand Herald TV. That has about, I think it was 14,000 or 12,000 last I checked. And you can also go to my website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. And also on Facebook, if you search Vinny Eastwood, again, two N's and a Y, there's a Facebook page and my personal profile, and there's Facebook groups and stuff. That's basically how to contact me, I think, in a nutshell.
Excellent. Sherry, how do we get a hold of you? I know you're over at, what, People's Internet Radio, correct?
That's right. Yeah. My show airs on Saturday nights. And it's, like you had said, it's called Open to Suggestions. And so I can be reached through the forum there, or I can be reached on Facebook. Also, my email is greeneyedmonster22@gmail.com.
Tim, how do we reach you? People have more questions about some of the basics to the foundations of international law and tribal law. I can do that.
I thought they would have a lot of questions because I was going to remark before you said, oh, the information's easy to find out. I was like, no, it isn't, man. It takes a long, long time to read through and listen to all of this stuff. It's an investment.
It is. It has been. So Tim's not there. I'm probably actually one of the best ones to talk to. We are the clan mother. So if anyone does want to get a hold of me, actually, the best way to get a hold of me is at Karen Ann McDonald at Facebook. My Gmail is KlanMother13@gmail.com. And, of course, you can get a hold of us. We've got Dark City Radio. We want to thank again Paul and Doug and, you know, everyone and whoever else our listeners are tonight. And Larry, I know Levan is out there in Silverton where I am today listening on the Hill, I'm sure. He'll be joining us, and he's doing a wonderful book that's in progress for this as well that will be covering some of these different areas for us. But you're right, Vinny. It is quite huge that there is a real lack. And this is why I do have a channel as well called KAM, or the CAM Network, that's coming up. And we will be getting things up slowly that way. But it is. It's been an entire investment of 20-some years, you know, me going into the courts and all the different variety of courts that there have been.
So how do I find the CAM? Do I follow the trail?
You know what? I'll send you the link, but it's literally K-A-A. You do. You're going to have to. It's the migration trail.
That was very cute.
It's a journey up here. I was going to say, I think you said something to Alfred about breadcrumbs. No, I won't put out, but we'll have raw chocolate ready for anyone that's going to be coming up here. So that's for sure. You can certainly hit this trail up.
Okay. And, Tony, I just want to say you seem to have a fine appreciation of a understanding of the what we're up against vis-a-vis, like, that it is a world of legal fictions that everybody's living in the Matrix, literally. You think it's real. Corpus Juris Secundum, and the alternative being the savage.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also so important for us to recognize that we're not out to gather followers. We're out to encourage leaders. For every person, I'm using person in the vernacular, for every person to stand up and be their own leader, because the most effective form of government is none. You know, it's enlightened anarchy where everyone's self-responsible, everybody does what they do well and love to do, and contribute their gifts and their products to the whole. And
I think that's what tribal living was, right? Exactly what you're describing. That's how it was lived, that culture and lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Except we can't. There was a governing authority, but I don't think, you know, that was ever sort of called upon except for, you know, some sort of major, whatever, you know, with another tribe, right? Whatever, you know, I mean, there was a governing sort of authority, but not that
it kind of reminds me of this quote by Chief Sitting Bull, when the white men came.
Yeah.
men would go fishing all day and the women would take care of the children. We'd come home, we would eat, make love all night, and then repeat the same process the next day. The white man is stupid enough to think he can improve on this.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's rather ironic that we're heading right back in there. It's unfortunate, but I actually had Claudia Bryden was trying to come in, and we'll see about maybe adding her in. Claudia Bryden actually was one of the foremost and forerunners. She was a former RCMP officer that was part of with me uncovering and doing the disclosures on what she was involved in called the Martinsville. It was kind of like the MK Ultra and the Ninth Circle is what I was involved with my children. And so I know she was just trying to get in. I'll see if I can bring her in. She'd be a great addition to this as well. She's out in Saskatoon, where I formerly was staying, but she would also like to be part into something this. And I don't know if the producer, if Paul or someone could actually add her in a call, because she was just trying to get in. That's one of the things, too, that's really, really pivotal, is that we realize that this is a time, you know, of peace and how joyful we can be, because we do have this information. Like you said, it's DNA. It's our data. It's adding in. We're very blessed to have this information and do the restoration or do a DNA cosmic sort of reactivation. It's really just a remembrance. And I think that's why Tony's really, it's imperative that we sit down. And we've been really blessed to have been gifted, you know, some of these medicines, and whether it's, you know, the herbology, the oils, the scalar technology. Vinny, you've got it absolutely correct with what we call almost like, I like to call it kind of community contribution, you know, kind of the Ubuntu idea. But we put that in, you know, and then everything grows basically exponentially. And
well,
that's
there's
the simplest
an old...
thing, 'cause, yeah.
May I just say something? There's an old saying, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something.
Exactly. Everyone's got a pair of hands, right down to our children, you know, and that's the simplest.
Well, actually, Saudi Arabian thieves don't have a whole lot of hands.
Well, they've been nasty. You know, they've probably got a few of them cut off these days. But I think that's, you know, really imperative and stuff like that. But, you know, I really want to thank everyone for joining. Is there anything, let's take a few minutes. Vinny, anything you'd like to add right now? And I'd love to have Tony he's got some great stuff to do with some meditation, and maybe even just have us just go through a very pivotal sort of time, just a centered Zen time, and do a little meditation and get us to do some breathing or focusing, if you would, please, after Vinny's done.
Well, that's ironic, because I was just waiting on an extra coffee because I got up extra early for this show, like way earlier than I normally do, bro. So I needed some focus and some zen as well coming towards me in a hot cup. That would be quite nice. But when you don't have what you need right now already, sometimes you'll have to basically take solace in the fact that if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're being who you really are, everything that you need will appear suddenly, unexplained and miraculously, exactly at the time that you need it. Now, you've got two ways of going about that. You can live in perpetual anxiety and then be relieved once again every week when the exact amount of money that you need to pay your rent comes in. Or you can just trust that everything's going to be okay.
and just ignore it and keep doing your thing. And you find out it works anyway. But sometimes if you have to throw away that security blanket, it can be a traumatic one indeed to survive. So, you know, take heart, everybody. You do get what you pay for. If you want your freedom, it will cost you a lot. Freedom does come with the highest of costs indeed.
I think that's a really interesting point because as I go, well, I did shut down on the trust accounts too, but that was more fun. So, you know, the whole banking, the whole thing, you know, down with the kingdoms. I'm kind of laughing with that happy song these days, Pharrell Williams. But Tony, can you go and maybe help us with a little bit or contribute that way with a little bit of a meditation or something just to keep people focused for us today, please?
Yeah, let's take a nice deep breath in through our nose. And out through our mouth. And another nice deep breath in through our nose. And out through our mouth. And one more deep breath in through the nose. And out through the mouth. And realize that the ultimate cost of freedom is accepting self-responsibility. Yeah, you know, there's no one out there that has your answers. You know, it's been said the truth will set you free, but it's not my truth or Vinny's truth or Tim's truth or anyone else's truth. It's your truth that will set you free. And the quickest, surest, and the most certain way of accessing what's true for you is, again, pay attention to your feelings. And when you're feeling something that you don't like, that's not a feeling. Feelings give you information. It's emotions that cause you to feel that something's wrong. You know, in fact, everything that shows up in your life is perfect exactly the way it is, and it comes in perfect timing, and it's perfectly designed to create an experiential context in which you can access the knowledge that it's time for you to access. There's no one out there that has your information or your answers. You have all the information that you require. We all come in with a full complement of information and a full complement of knowledge. And anything that it's time for us to do, we will know exactly how to do it. We may not know how to get from point A to point B, but we certainly know how to take the next step, because that step just feels right. It just feels right. And to get where we're going and realize that, you know, maybe none of us really knows where we're going or why we're going there. But to get where we're going, we just have to trust our feelings, keep moving in the direction that feels right, keep acknowledging that everything that's showing up is perfect exactly the way it is. And that includes the circumstances and the people that show up in life. And that also includes there being, you know, an elite that have control over the planet and who are, you know, making decisions in our name with our tacit consent that, you know, we absolutely don't agree with. I mean, you know, I've been around the world a little bit, and everyone I've met is beautiful. I mean, there's beautiful people everywhere, and it doesn't matter if they're Christian or Muslim or barbarians. I mean, you know, if you treat them well, they treat you well. If you respect them, they respect you. You know, if you behave appropriately, then, you know, everything is copacetic. You know, we need to realize that everything is always, always, always on track, and everything's happening in perfect harmony.
I love that. It was like Tony's broadcasting live from a New Zealand suburban tropical rainforest.
Right, and my parents actually...
Suburban tropical rainforest. Tony, are you there? Seem to have lost him.
That or the hurricane, I know, hasn't. So I've got a big enough... We've got a huge vortex going us. I've got a scalar wave over you guys there. So, Vinny, you'll be up. And, of course, Paul will be up too, as we saw in the chat room. If anyone does want any... appointments, by the way, and they would like to have any scalar or radionics done. I still see people as clients indirectly over Skype. And so that's something that we do as well, free of charge. And, you know, if people want to do gifting, that's, you know, but we can all do something within our own community as well. And that's fine. So we do appreciate that. We also want to thank Sarah is now in, and Sarah's got her show as well at Dark City Radio. And it's the I Am show. So we want to welcome Sarah this morning, or I guess it's this evening there. I should say today. So thanks, Sarah, for being here. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you, Karen.
Yeah. And what's the best way to get a hold of you, Sarah? And can you tell us a little bit about your show? You're on what day and what time?
The best way to get hold of me is probably on Facebook. There is Sarah Sativa. Or you can email me on sarahdarkcityradio.com. And my show is basically about working through all your emotions and your feelings and just ways of becoming more clear and more aware of yourself, really. Self-awareness, I'd say.
Yeah, and it's great. And it's really thankful. A lot of us have been getting together in the background, and we've been assisting with some of the different things that the people have put together as well, Vinny, the Compassionate Club and stuff like that, and assisting people that way or getting different medicines and stuff like that. And we've been developing all sorts of cool things, haven't we, Sarah? You know, we've been developing, like, you know, glycerin and rocket cow suppository sort of things. So besides the love butters and all that stuff, but getting things in so that we are assisting people also from a physical perspective as well, not only just mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
Did you say rocket cow suppository?
Yes, we're at rocket cow. It's like a rocket anyway when you put the right essential oils in it. Yeah, actually, I'm a colon hydrotherapist as well, so you'll get used to that a little bit. So
I made 60 the other day. Mm-hmm. I made 60 of them the other day, Karen. Followed your recipe.
Thank you. And Steve Adler's involved too. You know, we've got the guys at Sacred Chocolate, David Wolf and all that. So they've been putting actually not only the hemp in, but they've been also putting in resveratrol in off the wine. And they've also been putting some of the different herbs in right into the raw cacao because it becomes the delivery system. So, yeah, we can actually put them in, whether it be slow release, even cannabis and stuff like that, into raw chocolate suppositories and stuff. But, you know, there are many different methodologies besides the essential oils and aromatherapy and massage stuff that we do. But it actually has been very, very effective. So we actually are pioneering new forms of medicine, literally.
I was talking with a panel just yesterday on the United We Strike radio marathon. And we were talking about how you can't use the word cure or treatment or anything with any form of natural therapy products. And I said that it's basically like you have to play word games more or less. Like when you can't remember somebody's name, you use personal pronouns like bro, dude, or cuz, man.
You know, it's the same thing, like when we're looking at this. And again, that's the legalese. The beautiful thing is I'm also outside the system, outside the grid. So, you know, I get to play where a lot of people, you know, do have their hands tied into other associations and things like that. But part of that is the pioneering of new forms of medicine. We're really just revamping what's always been there. So that's why when I trained with, let's say, people like Dr. Gary Young, he was able to go into the Isis temple and decode all the recipes. So we have all those recipes still preserved, and those are things that we use then as we use now. You know, so we're kind of are the walking kind of crystal skulls and, you know, with all that kind of information. But we are actually developing that and putting the Oramus and the monatomics into these type of things. So it is getting dispensed out or in the enemas or into these slow release types of forms, because it is. And there is the individuals, this is about, even with biofeedback, that's why it's so important, is you are healing yourself. We do nothing. You know, might be the best at doing nothing these days, but, you know, whatever. Let's all do that. Let's all have that ability to do that. So that's part of the beauty about the SKU, or what they call the Indigo or e-doctor machines out now with these radionics, is that we have the access to utilize all these free technologies. So that is that you hook yourself up, and then I'm just a, you know, you're able to see through the Skype camera what's going on, whether it's the curling photography, the chakras are lined up, your aura scans, you know, the toxicology scans, the amount of chemtrails you have absorbed, the amount of radiation you have absorbed, the amount of smart meters you have absorbed. But more importantly is like zero point. We just neutralize it all and just put it right back. It's that's like zero pointing or coming back to balance. And that's the beauty. So you can measure how much love someone has. You can measure how much anger someone has and what's being held in those particular areas or organs. And more importantly is you are doing your own corrections. And that is what we've got to come into is we have this, you know, light and energy technology available to us and we're able to see it. Same thing with the food. When David Wolf was bringing that out, it's all about the color. Like you talked about the wavelength, the frequency. But more importantly is can you absorb that information? Can you digest it? You know? And so that's a very, very, very important type of methodology to get through. And the reason we're using the essential oils like the frankincense, the myrrh, is that is an integrative form of medicine that we are using intrinsically because it is nano medicine for nanotechnology.
I've always wondered, you know how there's essential oils. Are there oils that are not so essential, like just optional oils?
Well, yes, there would be, but
like this is the essential oil, but these ones, pick a miss, mate, whatever.
Yeah, I know. It's like the wheat from the chaff. Well, we don't really need that, but almost everything can be converted into some form of essential oil. Even the crystals, like we have amber essential oil. We have what we call in India called attars. But again, it is essential. It's like the Essene gospel of peace. That's what we're kind of doing again. I'll come back to those peace things again. But that's part of the integration that we're bringing in is we're bringing the best of what we can do to actually build up the frequency. Because when people drop into that very narrow band, you know, and they're not in our band of excitement up here in the higher, you know, crown or frequency or the crystallization of the DNA, like you're just radioactive. I mean, we're vibrating. We're so excited. But what happens is when people drop into that lower wavelength or they have different diseases, we can measure that. So if you've got what they perceive to be cancer or something, we know that you're in 40-some hertz, 42 hertz. So I actually can tailor an essential oil to match it or to mirror it, and it will go in and neutralize it. So that's what we have. If you've got something with the radiation now with Fukushima, we have a blend called Sacred Mountain, for example, or certain oils that will go in and target in what we call the fifth chakra around the thyroid to be able to also neutralize that and open up that area. And the emotion connected to a lot of these areas now, which is quite ironic, in the fifth dimension here, or fifth chakra, but is actually the freedom or the communications. And that's our communications, but our freedom as opposed to a fear of injustice. So we actually can bring these things back. They're measurable, but more importantly is we can also transmute it into something really benevolent that's great for everyone. So, yes. You know,
have
this
you noticed
is
that the opposite is true? Like the elite are masters of distorting things and using them for their opposite intended purpose. Well, isn't the key then to turn everything that's bad and everything that's nasty into a good purpose?
Well, and that's the point, is it becomes benevolent. So when you're actually able to take the elements, you know, like the chemtrail or whatever, when I was doing stuff with Len Horowitz or whoever, but when we're looking at stuff like whether it's the vaccines or whatever, you can actually take that substance, or we were taking mercury fillings or titanium and neutralizing them on the skio, or utilizing dirt samples that could be utilized on the areas or water and transmuting it very much like Dr. Emoto's, you know, crystallization, but using water restructuring and vortexing, but we can use it with the radionic machine. So in fact, you're absolutely correct, Dr. Gary Young, to protect his fields of the essential oils and the plants. What I did is I made certain forms of, we'll just say, interesting organite or organ generators. And we can take them and reprogram them through frequency. So I'm connected to stuff even all over the world that way. I have my own kind of like harp towers and things around that we can do to actually make everything what we used to call gifting, but benevolent again. Because it's just really at an alchemical processing, it's just elements. It's very elemental. It's just that essential, right? If that makes sense. But absolutely. The essential oils are absolutely the most imperative thing if I can impose on anyone right now, is to get a really good, probably at least 1 to 2 dozen of very small ones from the frankincense and myrrh. And because what that chemical is doing is it's changing the script. Same thing like a vaccine. What it's doing is that you've got all this great DNA, like you were saying, Vinny. It brings it right through. That's our information, our data collected, you know, from all our gene pools. And we are the, if you want to say, the sum of all that. And what these chemicals are doing is they're just changing the access codes. And so we can use the essential oils and clean it out. It's that simple. It's like that. You know, no different than if, you know, people are using zeolite or bentonite or activated charcoal as a nurse when someone did drugs or something, you know, kind of like chemtrails or whatever. But when someone overdosed, we used to give them activated charcoal or something to neutralize it. The alkalization is probably one of the most important things I see. And it's all to me about the water right now and restructuring and protecting not only the waters inside, which is our blood and our blood lineage. That's why it's important to know that. But even the food that we take in, because it's primarily still water-based. So
I have a question.
Getting to the spring water.
Mm-hmm. Can you overdose on essential oils?
You know what you can? It's not really per se an overdosing, but you can have – you get to the point where you almost – how do you put it? You're actually – I want to say certain things will work for – or it'll work, but will be functional for a little while, and then you just don't require it anymore. So you want to change the frequency because you'll get used to something. So it's not really per se overdosing. I've dumped an entire bottle of oregano on one of my clients and just went, well, I guess we won't be putting any hot towels on today, but they were totally fine. And it's almost like what's required in the moment. Overdosing, it's more, I guess, precautionary. There's very few precautionaries, like don't stick it in your genitals and don't stick it in your eyes or stuff like that. But what happens is that what you want to do is be able to use it with some common sense. When you're pregnant.
So you shouldn't snort it or inject it?
We do. Don't laugh. We actually do. So we do put it up the nose with substances. We do put it in enemas. I do put it in Organite. I put it in colonics. We put it in salts. We put it in all our raw foods, waters, teas, acupuncture. If people were doing that, they used to dip needles and stuff. But part of what we can also utilize it on tampons or retention type of even cotton pads, stuff like that. So it's beyond aromatherapy. I put them in essential oils. So you can actually take basically clear of veggie capsules internally. So instead of people taking herb pills or virtually drugs, you can actually take, you know, I've got some of my clients, 6, 7, 8 pills a day, you know, of lavender or frankincense or combinations. The overdosing in the sense is that you just want to use, let's say, certain things that might make women more hormonal when they're pregnant, it's not a good thing to make them too hormonal, you know, like stages. So a lot of the precautionary stuff, as long as it's done in some moderation, it's actually fine. But like anything, I mean, people have died from drinking too much water when they were running on the outside. So it's not really a matter.
Nobody's died of an overdose of weed yet in 10,000 years.
Not yet. No.
But they have got shot in the back. But they have gotten shot by the cops before for having weed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really important. And people don't realize, Dr. Gary Young, when you were talking about shooting it up, actually we were. I call mainlining putting it in an enema because it's a direct IV. And we do put them in IVs. And we do actually have certain areas and different hospitals now. And they were injecting frankincense through hypodermic needles. And so we are using it for tumors and different things and for cancers, which have been totally effective. And so most of that has been done, and a lot of the studies to do with the vaccines, because they're storing in the cerebral, but in the basal ganglion, in the spine. And a lot of those areas, once we get the essential oils in, we call it raindrop technique, where we're dispensing it like little drops of rain. I virtually marinate all my people here. You know, so what you think is massage, I'm actually doing a clinical, that's how I do my physicals. And so I'm doing what you would know as traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic. I'm doing the, you know, meridians at the same time. We call it Vitaflex because I do the original Tibetan form before there was reflexology. So there's very, very little precautions, but you can always put a hot, wet towel on. And so there are so many different ways to get it in. But essentially, you know, like I said, most people are so deficient and they're so low. Just to get their mind back takes about 105 hertz. So when you consider foods, even raw foods or garden fresh foods are only about 25 hertz, we've got to look at using essential oils and putting that in to raise our own vibrations just to get us back up. That's why it was always part of temple or in the pyramid, or call it whatever we want, opening the stargate up. That's what the frankincense, the trees were used for. And by tree medicine, I mean as in frankincense, sandalwood, cedarwood. That ties in with the whole thing with my Baba's bloodlines with the ringing cedars of Russia. And that's when they talk about the whole ringing cedars, cedars. Those woods or those trees, the birch, the pineal gland, pine essential oil.
What happened when you ring in the cedars and they don't pick up?
You better call us again. Phone home. E.T. phone home. But, yeah, no, that's a pivotal series. I don't know if you've had the – it was a very monumentous, again, life thing. Like what I read in Meredith Quinn's 1,200 pages, and the teachings led me onto like the last 4 or 5 years of a lot of stuff. And again, I remember when Rob Nicholson came to me off the military and the Stargate program and the secret space program and stuff. And when they were, I thought it was funny at the time. They go, well, you're the bear mama, you know, the white bear mama with the tartan and the two swords. And I thought, you guys are really like funny. You know? Who knew what was going to be happening like, you know, 7, 8 years later. But these people are very, very pivotal. And so that's part of all of us helping each other and putting that community contribution back in. But if I could encourage anyone, one is to get alkalized and using things first, even something as simple as baking soda and maple syrup, you know, 1-to-1, like one teaspoon, anything just to get through this right now. And again, you know, getting the oils, whatever you've got, lemon, orange, peppermint, clove, cinnamon, all of those would be absolutely excellent ones just for starters. And again, going on, like you said, it's about being self-sustainable, self-empowered, going on to YouTube. We all have the ability to do that. And these will actually neutralize different toxins. The vaccines, just to let you know, there was like Dr. Gary Young, myself, Len Horowitz, several of us, and we were actually got an honorary diplomat they awarded me with for being in this, but it was called Kasha, and it was basically our form then of the as a different form setting up of the natural paths as opposed to the World Health Organization. And so one of the things we were doing, we've got oils or combinations, which is the Exodus formula, like speaking of Moses and Noah's Ark and all that stuff, but in those particular scripts or scriptures to keep the genes or genes of Isis, our bloodline still, those codes or remedies were in there. And so we could frequency actually change things. And so they were coded for biological warfare that we were in our meetings in Salt Lake with in 2006. And so the essential oils were the basically way to neutralize everyone's chemtrails and vaccines. So that was part of what I was doing, is helping people, you know, and children that had had vaccines or injuries that way and had collapsed, gone into comas or whatever. And it was quite successful, especially with the frankincense, amethyst beds and whatever technologies we did. And I'm really quite excited and happy that they're here, you know, 6, 7 years later, and they're still with us. So I just wanted to put that out, if that's one thing we can get, and is to get people with those sort of things, because then it makes it fun. And there is an oil that is called Sacred Mountain, which is frequency combined to protect the throat or the thyroid chakra on the emotions for fears of injustice, fears of, you know, being enslaved or entrapped, that type of thing. So to keep that area open and free during this time. And there's one called Peace and Calming that Young Living makes, or you can make up your own. It's got oranges and tangerines, blue tansies in it. And we can get the recipes or just give me a call, but we can make up our own, and that'll keep that particular addiction center and stuff open.
I thought
like
Peace and Carmen was like Tutankhamun's brother, like a pharaoh of ancient Egypt.
It's like, walk like an Egyptian. You'll have me like Madonna doing the Vogue next.
More slutty.
Oh, it is. Well, you know, King Tutankhamun, you know, that's what they had. He's been tooting a lot of stuff too. But yeah, that's why they had the essential oils in 1922 and they opened up all those jars, the alabaster jars, right? What were they filled with? The oils, you know. So I think that's really important. I appreciate your humor. We got to have more humor.
Yeah. You know, it's important to have fun.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about being self-empowered and self-sustainable. And we've also talked about, you know, the legal prohibition of saying that we, you know, treat disease or cure disease. I think we can get around all that by realizing that we don't treat disease. You know, the body is a self-sustaining, self-correcting, self-healing mechanism. And all we need to do is keep the body in that frequency of excitement. And all the therapies that we have available to us, whether it's the colonics or the alkalining or the essential oils or chiropractic or energy work or removing programs from the fields like I do with Light Body Healing, it's not about healing anything. It's about opening the way for the person to free themselves up from what's got them stuck outside the frequency of excitement and in opening the way for them to move back into that frequency. Because in that frequency of excitement, absolutely the body heals itself. And there's really only one disease, and that's dis-ease. You know, whether you call it cancer or asthma or an autoimmune disease, it's all just one disease. The body's not in the frequency of excitement, and how that particular body breaks down is largely dependent on the phenotypical expression of the DNA code through that body. You know, so, you know, we don't really have to know what's going on in the body other than to know that the body is outside the frequency of excitement. The pH level is off, which is indicative of the body's outside the frequency of excitement. So it really comes down to doing whatever you can to open the way for the person to move back into excitement. That's why I tell people all the time when they ask me, well, what therapy is the best? It doesn't matter. What matters is how much of a master the person is at that therapy and how clearly they recognize that the only objective is to get you back in the frequency of excitement where your body can heal.
And I think that's the whole thing. We are like as beings. I just have a different terminology, and it just, again, that's the law legalese thing. But, you know, as like energies or beings, it's to get that frequency back and to get the vibration, you know, in there. Because then we don't have a body per se or whatever. I know the physical structure of what you're trying to say. But also just to keep people aware of, you know, the terminology on that. One of the things, though, is that to get everyone, you know, moving into feeling healthy and to get in that groove, we've all got to take that time and just do what we can and in the areas that we are. So I'm really, really grateful that, especially to you two, because you guys, like, Tony's been up all night. You haven't had much sleep. And then you guys have just been bypassing that hurricane. And Tony, I know, has got another show, too, here shortly in about 10, 15 minutes. And you'll be having Loretta Mole, and she'll be doing some pivotal as well. She used to be a theta healer and stuff, has developed her own healing technologies that will be joining us as we'll be in the areas as well. I met with her years ago in Saskatoon and have maintained contact with that. So that's what I like to do. And then also, like I said, we'll be bringing it, looks like, I think, Christina McMillan and David Wolf and a few other people, and really focusing on the fun stuff and getting people excited. I know I was listening to one of the shows with Carrie Cassidy with Captain Mark Richards, and one of the things he was mentioning, he said something that, and it was quite ironic, but said something along the lines that it was the raptors and the reptilians, if you gave them chocolate, they'd settle down. And I went, well, there's something, you know, those those contracts were no good Eisenhower did with all the people. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but there was someone called Cynthia Marie Brewer also that was interviewed by Kerry Cassidy. And it was pivotal because the in 1999, the DNA that was used off some of our tribes, Brewer being off the Bear Clan and stuff, that was the basis to the Chimera and the Black Panther project that Patty Broussard was able to get in, and Patty and myself have been looking through. But that was the whole basis to the IMF as well, and the barcodes and the frequencies and all of this and the cloning. And I'm sitting right above basically like the Q552, like the clone capital basically of the planet, sitting underneath me here at Nelson, just about. Another good reason maybe to move for a while. But things are starting to shake up here a little bit. Roads are starting to collapse around me. Anyway, one of the things, though, is that we've got to look at being able to get these different people that we've been talking to. And I know you've also spoken to Captain Randy Kramer and stuff, too, and off the Mars Defense. That was the other reason why I sent a lot of these proclamations to do with our tribes, because the Earth Defense Force and the Mars Defense Force are to have the treaties and to maintain the – and actually protect – I don't know if Tim is still with us there or not, but the treaties that sit back from the ISIS Treaty and our Noah's Ark and Camel's Eye Treaty is there to ensure our safety and actually make sure that we are protected, each one of our tribe or our group. So welcome to the tribe. So that's one of the things that they're into place to ensure that we're looked after. And so I want to also thank each and every one of them for that too. So they've really come forward and they've been doing a lot of disclosure for me as well. So I appreciate all their assistance as brothers and sisters, and we're all related anyway. So that is one of the things that people do need to know, and it was to ensure protection and for delivery of food and water for those people. So as you said, Tony, we're raising it up to the next level, eh?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're going to change the world and take the human experience up to the next level together. And only together are we going to accomplish that.
You know, Tony, it seems that the birds are quite a unique little festive addition to this call. I'm quite enjoying it, eh? I was sitting outside last night, bro, and you know how we've got in Titirangi here where I'm living, there's all these native birds in the bush with all their little calls and everything, and the crickets and whatnot. And just sitting there, and it's very lightly raining, and there's no breeze or anything, approaching cyclone. And we're thinking, you know, it's actually really quite tranquil. We were away from the electromagnetic radiation, outside of the house, away from the lights, just kind of sitting there in the dark and the light rain, thinking how peaceful and nice everything is. And I think that's part of what we're talking about here, is sort of disconnecting from all those stressful, annoying, terrible things, and just for a moment remind yourself that there's a whole natural world out there that you can just step into and out of, and you should take the opportunity when you can.
Yeah, well, how do you feel? It depends on what you're focusing on.
Tim, I think you've unmuted there, and we can't hear Tony speak.
Yeah, I think that's coming from Karen then.
Oh, is that coming from Karen, is it?
Yeah,
now I can hear you, Tony.
Yeah, I recall when Jesus was walking with the disciples and they came upon the rotting corpse of a dog, and the disciples were you know, they thought it was disgusting. And Jesus looked and says, "Ah, pearls are not whiter than its teeth." So it really how you feel really comes down to what you're focusing your attention on. And why focus your attention on something that takes you outside the frequency of excitement? I mean, we have no power whatsoever to control what shows up in our life, but we have the absolute power to interpret it in a way that allows us to remain in that frequency of excitement.
What was that martial art, Tony, where I think it's Aikido, is it, where you don't actually expend any energy, you only use the energy of your opponent against themselves to flip them over and what have you?
Exactly. Aikido.
And it was fun with swords, too. I used to do it.
Wow. Anyway,
it is Aikido.
Yeah, that was kind of extreme.
It's like, whoa, some Electra woman over here, man.
I have a few belts in jiu-jitsu too, but that's okay.
I heard that's the official martial art of the Israeli army, jiu-jitsu. Get it? Because they're right. Jewish.
I got it.
The joke about that, eh? What does an Israeli soldier use for protection during sex? An Uzi.
A taco.
How come I don't get that?
Maybe because you don't know what an Uzi is. It's an Israeli-made submachine gun.
Yeah, it's like a semi-automatic.
For some reason, I was trying to go the other direction with that. I don't know. I was not thinking that way at all. I was, okay, never mind. Sorry.
Well, it involves something that rhymes with direction.
That's what I was thinking. I'm thinking, well, what did... Okay, I'm not even going to go into what I was thinking.
You really shouldn't.
And we got about 5 minutes left, so let's take a minute each. I think I'm going to start with you, Vinny. What would you like to dispense to the listeners, you know, that are listening to us today and going, this is like really quite the party? We'll have all our technicalities, like, hopefully solved by next week. But anyway, what would you like to impart your wisdom onto the listeners here today?
Well, everybody's got a talent. Mine just happens to be making really terrible jokes. And so, you know, I've got a kind of limited use, but I try to fulfill a function whenever I can. Discussion we had yesterday on the radio was about the tactic of the cactus. And a cactus protects itself by covering itself in all directions with really prickly spines. And I see the global conspiracy more or less as somebody trying to assail the planet and assail each individual from every conceivable direction. And what happens is there's usually one area in one place of the world at any one time, a particular person for whom that really tiny little element of the conspiracy is affecting everybody, and they are the ones protecting everyone from it. The tactic of the cactus, and that's what we're all kind of playing our part in, really, as acting as individual spines against the hands that are trying to choke us. And if you want to be an attack cactus, all you got to do is go for your life. There are no rules. There's no handbook. All you got to do is don't do nothing. And that's it. That's me.
I keep thinking that somebody else is going to pick it up. I'm sorry. I don't know if we keep losing signal with everyone. Can you hear me, Vince?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So we're just – okay. Well, there's like 2 minutes left to go. So if anybody wants to add in a place where they can be contacted or, you know, anything else, they've got 2 minutes to do it.
Okay, well, you can listen to my show 4 days a week in the United States. It's Monday through Thursday, 9 till 11 Central. That's 10 till midnight Eastern and 7 till 9 p.m. Pacific time. In New Zealand, it's currently 3 till 5 p.m. Local time, but it's Tuesday through Friday. And you can listen to that live either on AmericanFreedomRadio.com or the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And hope to hear people listening there.
Great. Sarah. I'm going to let you anchor. Go ahead.
I'd like to just remind people that you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And if you stay in the frequency of excitement, you are very definitely part of the solution. That's really the key.
Excellent. Sarah, how to get a hold of you? And
what was that you said? It went a bit funny then. Karen, you there?
She was asking how to get a hold of you. Where can people reach you if they want to contact you?
my email is sarah@darkcityradio.com. That's the best place to get me. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you. I think that Karen has dropped off, and it looks like we have about 30 seconds left on this show. So I hope everyone had a good time, and all the listeners, thank you so much. And everyone on this panel, good night, everybody.
Pleasure talking to everyone. I was just saying, a pleasure meeting everyone as well.
A group of radio enthusiasts were told they couldn't broadcast without a license. These folks promptly escaped the clutches of a maximum security corporate system to the open source community. Today, still wanted by the state, they broadcast as soldiers of freedom. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, if you can find them, maybe you can hire the Dark City Radio crew.